You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Okay, without further ado, I would invite Pastor Bin to come up and preach, but we also believe that God is going to speak to us and challenge us in a wonderful way through the testimonies of some Sun Lifers here. So can I invite, first of all, Tina Bianchini to come up on stage. Tina, you've been attending Sun Life for 9 to 10 months now, apparently, with your husband Mark. Some of us know who Mark is. Obviously, he's been preaching, he's been service leading, but I think not many of us know you. So can I ask you to tell us a bit about yourself?
Okay, well, speaking in front of a group of people is not my favourite thing, but my husband reminded me last night that this is just a way to give glory to God, so that's why I'm here.
Amen.
I moved here from Melbourne in 2019, and I'm married to this beautiful man. I'm a mother to 4 children. And I have the privilege of being a part of the Agape ministry. Yeah. On a Monday night, nothing better, so rewarding. It gives us a chance to let God's light shine to other people. And it also reminds us of how much we've got to be thankful for as well. So I encourage everyone to be a part of that.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So, and I work in the education sector.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing. Now, I'm aware of an interesting situation that occurred, I think, at the beginning of the year when you were a little bit affected by the border closures.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that? I think it's going to be quite relevant for the times that we're living in.
Yes. Well, the plan was that we were going to go to Melbourne for 2 weeks. And at that time, the only way that we could return to WA was to spend 2 weeks in Queensland. So we spent 2 weeks in Melbourne, went to Queensland to spend 2 weeks there. But during that course, things changed in the COVID front, and borders were closed. And so our stay was extended by a further 4 weeks. So it went from 4 weeks to 8 weeks. So we were in Queensland. It was a time where the kids were sort of getting a little bit anxious because they were both starting new schools, and we knew that we were going to be back late, potentially starting 2 weeks later than the start of term. It's a busy time for me as far as work is concerned, because that's when we do our year end, and I had an audit looming and such. So I had pressures there, not to mention that financially it was quite a strain on us to extend a stay by a month. As well as I miss my family, I miss my husband very much back here. And it was just, it was a horrible feeling of actually being denied access, coming back home.
Yeah, that's, I can't imagine that, the impact of that, you know, your children, yourself, your work, husband. Can I ask, as a believer, obviously as a committed believer, you know, how did you respond to that situation, you know, all the various challenges and the effect on your family?
Look, I really made a conscious effort to push further into him, because I know personally that if there's more of him, then there's less of the world that can creep in, because it's really easy to sort of let the devil creep in. You know, he takes a hold and he runs wild with our thoughts and the like. So I made a conscious effort every morning to start the day with prayer and the word. So I just kept busy with that. That gave me the strength to actually help my children, be strong for them as well. I had a calmness that I had from just spending time with him.
Wonderful. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. And that's certainly something that encourages us to maintain a steadfast walk with the Lord, even in spite of our circumstances.
Yeah.
I heard that when you arrived back, you know, praise God, you eventually did. God continued to open doors for you in other ways. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't actively looking for another job, but there was a particular job that came up that it was a real standout to me because first and foremost was Jesus and faith. That was the criteria that was first on the list, and then it came qualifications, experience and the like. And I looked at it and I just, Mark actually brought it to my attention and said it just fit my skill set to a T. It was all about Jesus. It was a job that I was very familiar with. It was 10 minutes from home. It just ticked so many boxes. So with Mark's support, we applied for the position. And I had some very strong references, and so I was blessed with actually receiving that appointment.
Wonderful. So, that's amazing. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Amazing how God really does show that he's in control. He does provide and bless us in spite of, you know, the circumstances that you just came through.
I just want to say the best part.
Oh, the best part? Oh, yes.
The best part of this.
Yes, please.
So God's hand in all of this. Is that earlier on in the year, Mark had actually applied for another role in a similar sort of role in another school and was unsuccessful. But the gentleman who I am replacing applied for that role and got that job. So
right.
God had made a way for me to have that job. That gentleman got that job, and Mark in the end got another position, which is a better fit for him, and he is truly blessed and loving what he does. So
amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, God's timing.
That's awesome. God is good. Now what has these experiences over the last few months shown you about who God is, and how has that helped you in your walk with God?
Okay, well, I just know from experience that 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it speaks about that we are only to endure what we can. God will only let us endure what we can. He will always give us the strength to get through things, and I know that is the case. And I know it's very tempting to be frustrated when things don't happen in our time frame, and when we think, oh, you know, this isn't working out, and the like, that we always can rely on Him, that His timing is best, and that our Father knows what's best for us. So we just got to rely on Him.
Amen. That's thank you for encouraging us with that. So what advice would you give to our congregation, just as a few final words, for those online and here, in the times that we're living in, you know, in uncertain times, when we're going through life's unpredictable and uncertain challenges, what would you give? What advice would you give?
Well, I would strongly recommend to do what I did, as far as just consciously giving it to Him, that He is our provider, He is our keeper, and it's He's there for us in all aspects of life. It's not that, oh well, COVID's not mentioned in the Bible, so you know there's no application for that. There's application for everything in our life. So push further into Him, prayer and communion with Him as often as you can. I just thoroughly recommend that. Just more of Him and less of the world.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tina. Let's give her a round of applause. Before we finish, I'd just like to invite Eunice onto stage. Eunice is Eunice and Daryl are Connect Group leaders. We're Tina and Mark 10, and we'd just like to pray for Tina. Let's pray.
Daddy God, I just want to raise my dear sister up to you. I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to her, to Mark and the family, and your word says, and for you, my dear sisters, that God will continue to renew a steadfast spirit in you daily, every moment, every second, as you seek Him and push closer to Him. And I pray, God, that you will just continue to knit her heart closer and closer to you, to your plans, to your purpose for her and Mark, and that they will glorify you, that your light will shine through their lives, through their children, through the family. And that people will come and see that you are alive in this family, that your goodness shines through, your glory shines through. And I thank you for my dear sister's life and the way she's just surrendered all the good and the bad to you. And I thank you, Lord. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tina. Let's give a one final round of applause. Thank you. Okay, let's turn your eyes to the screen. We've got some little something special just to show you all.
Keeping chickens is rewarding for so many reasons, and it's not all about the eggs. They're also great for gardens, as family pets, and more. Chickens allowed to free range around a garden will control weeds and pest insects, and they fertilize the garden. Plus, they provide comic relief and companionship. They are remarkable creatures, and I love keeping them. Here are some of my tips for keeping chickens. Your chickens?
Okay, I'd like to invite Lydia up on stage. She's going to give us some more advice on how to keep chickens, for those who are interested. Okay, that was an episode of Lydia in Garden Gurus. She was invited a few months ago to be one of the hosts in Garden Gurus. So that was our very own Lydia. So you can now say that you know a TV star, an actual, you know. So Lydia, can you share a bit more about yourself? A few of us know you've attended Sun Life for many years, but those of us who are new may not know who you are. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yep, sure. I'm a practicing veterinarian with 15 years of experience. I'm currently working in the policy space in animal biosecurity. So I've worked in various clinics, different government industries. I've completed further veterinary studies. I'm a mentor, a guest speaker, presenter, but I'm also an edible gardener. I enjoy growing unique food crops, rarely found in the shops, and such like colorful corn, loofah. I also enjoy gardening, growing in resilience, and different crafts like making our own reusable face masks.
Yes, and some of us have observed some of the amazing talent that Lydia has in your drawings and crafts. We also know that some of us who know you, who journey with you over the years, are aware that that you are a high achiever. You're a very creative person. You're talented, but there also have been some challenges that you've been facing. Just over the years. I'm just wondering if we appreciate your courage to come out here to share. I'm just wondering if you could share a little bit about that.
Yeah. I have a long-term struggle with depression, anxiety, insomnia, and bipolar affective disorder. In the depressive phase of my illness, my thoughts are negative, they're dark, they're very harmful. I have trouble sleeping or staying asleep every night. I struggle to get out of bed in the day. I feel anxious, I feel worried, I feel guilty, I feel condemned. My thoughts are often on a continuous loop of all the mistakes I've made, all the people I've disappointed and let down. Suicidal ideations are very common, especially during the darkest phases of this illness. When I'm very ill, I get recurring thoughts that this world would be better off without me. And I've been hospitalized during some of the darkest parts of my depression. Conversely, in the hypomanic or manic phase of my illness, I am hyper creative. I survive on little sleep. I'm louder. My thoughts are racing. I'm extremely productive. I feel invincible. However, this euphoric phase is short-lived and often results in a crash and a resulting really dark depression. So this roller coaster ride of high highs and low lows and learning to be in that sweet spot of normality between high and low has been challenging for myself, for David, my husband, and my family to navigate.
Thank you, Lydia, for your honesty and your courage to share what you're going through. As someone who loves the Lord, all this while, I know that you're a committed Christian, you've been attending Connect Groups and very much part of Sun Life and serving in different ways. How have you responded to these challenges that you've been facing all these years? And how have you ever questioned God, for example? I wonder, can you share a little bit?
I can definitely relate to Paul when he pleaded to God multiple times to remove the thorn in his side, and then God's response to him was, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, because and so that the power of Christ can work through me." And so many nights of insomnia, I have cried out to God to bring sleep. During the depressive episodes where the negative thoughts keep crashing through my brain like relentless waves, I've asked him to take away the suffering. But so often he reminds me that his grace is sufficient. His power works best through my weakness. And God has reminded me so many times that his great ministry will be born from my deepest pain and shame.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lydia. That's so encouraging. God's grace is sufficient for us in spite of our circumstances. I'm aware that after so many years of battling depression, you've made great strides recently. And that's why we've asked Lydia to come and share, and she was graciously willing to share. Can you tell me more about that? What led to that? Those huge strides that you've made recently?
Well, it's been a combination of multiple factors. Firstly, being very careful to honor my sleep and set healthy boundaries. Being in a very supportive Connect group and having an amazing Connect group leader who has journeyed and prayed with me through the ups and downs. Being in the prayer team, being prayed for, praying for others, keeping my focus on God. And also with the help of medication, psychotherapy, renewing my mind with God's word, Christian music and Christian podcasts, and self-care like gardening, good routines, journaling to help self-recalibrate, all help maintain wellness. And having a very supportive husband and parents who pray regularly for me and with me, and a husband who has driven me to Connect Group when I was very ill and unable to drive myself so that I could get prayer and fellowship, has been a godsend.
That's wonderful. Good on you, David, wherever you are. That's amazing what God is doing in your life and through different ways, through Connect Group and prayer ministry, and obviously some practical wisdom as well in your routine. So I hope that is encouraging to some of us here who might be going through similar challenges. How's your journey so far helped you in your faith and your walk with God and who God is?
Well, it's encouraging seeing how God can use a broken, imperfect person like myself for his glory. And I'm also very encouraged by the many biblical characters who've all got flaws and yet have been used by God. And like I mentioned before, God has been reminding me that I'm not alone, that he'll be using my deepest pain and weakness to bring about his ministry of healing in this area where many need healing and hope. It's also really exciting to see God use our valleys and mountaintop experiences, the beautiful and broken aspects of our life, to weave a beautiful tapestry.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. From your experience, what advice would you give us as members of Sun Life, if we have, fellow members, fellow brothers and sisters who are going through a similar struggle with depression, and what would people who are going through depression like us to know? Can you share a little bit about that?
If the Holy Spirit brings somebody to your mind, reach out, touch base with them, text them, call them, catch up with them. The knowledge that they are not alone, someone is thinking of them, could really encourage them. Keep having conversations like these, the ones that we are having, to bring awareness about mental health struggles and to start the healing. We humans are made up of a physical body, but also our emotions, our mind, our spirit, and each part can hurt and suffer at times. So mental health struggles can often be a silent, invisible illness that people don't know how to talk about or help someone through. So it may be tempting to tell someone who's feeling depressed to snap out of it, but saying things like that isn't helpful. Be judgment-free, have so much compassion and kindness when you communicate with someone who is in a depressive phase. Acts of kindness, like cooking them a meal, praying with them, a voice message, spending time just to be with them and listening, can be very helpful.
Thank you for those tips. That's very, you know, that's the kind of community that we would like to be, you know, to be compassionate and kind and discerning. What would you say, just finally, just final words, what would you say to someone here at church or watching online, someone who's going through long-standing challenges where there's no obvious light at the end of the tunnel? What words would you say to that person?
Remember Psalm 23. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble. So life is like a set of parallel train tracks, with joy and with sorrow running throughout our lives. On this side of eternity, sorrow and joy is present, but with His empowering, we learn to choose and experience joy in the midst of struggle and pain. And we choose gratitude and learn thanksgiving for the beauty, pleasure, and excitement that is present. So if you are going through depression, you are not alone. Seek help, take baby steps, celebrate the wins, and gradually work on choosing joy and gratitude. I also believe in neuroplasticity, which is the ability to change our thought patterns and strengthen our mind. So allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds and grow us in gratitude and resilience. Get connected, join a connect group where you can do life with others and grow. And finally, God wants to remind you that you are His beloved child. He is with you always. And remember that you are significant, valued, accepted, loved, and you are an overcomer.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, that's... Yeah. Lydia, thank you so much for sharing your heart and your courage to come up here and share. Thank you for the very discerning, wise words. I know sometimes when we're going through a struggle or a long-term challenge, it's not a matter of just suddenly, whoa, you know, God's going to just bring deliverance and that's it. Everything's going to be great. Sometimes it's that journey that we have with the Lord that God works and through His Spirit and through just wisdom that God has given us as well. So we praise God for you, Lydia. And we'd like to invite my wife, Adeline, who's your Connect Group leader, to come and pray for you before we finish off.
When preparing for prayer, I think the Lord just dropped me the prayer of Jabez for you. That is from 1 Chronicles 4:10. All right? We'll just pray. Yeah. Father God, we just wanted to commit our dear sister Lydia unto your hand, Lord. Lord, we know she is, Father, belongs to you. She is, Father, the daughter of yours. Lord, we just pray at this time, as she continues to seek after your heart and to extend her territory, Lord, that you'll bring her blessing and protection, that she would not go through any harm or any pain because your protection, the blood of Jesus Christ, to be upon her, that you continue to shower the love, the joy, the peace, Father, to be upon her every day. As her mind just go wild at times, Lord, that you bring her back to you again. And Lord, that you know how much that she can take, Father, that you just continue to move her on and also to encourage her, to guide her every step, Father, that she take, that she will bring, Father, more and more of her pain unto you, the glory unto you, and also the celebration, Father, of your goodness too. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Let's give Lydia another round of applause. We'd like to enter into a time where we can give glory to God. It's all the work of God, work of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, these testimonies are possible. So let's give praise to God. Over to you.
God, we thank you so much that you are the same God. Yeah, we see you healing in the past, and we see you healing today. We see miracles of the past, and we see miracles of today. So we thank you, you are here with us. The God who saved Israel, the God who called people, is the same God that we worship here this morning. Thank you so much that you are so real to us. Thank you so much for the amazing testimony. Thank you so much that you're still working in broken people like us. We stand, Lord, saying that we're not perfect, you are perfect. We don't have it all together, but you do. And so we thank you so much that every step we go, every valley we walk in, you're there with us. Your rod, your staff, they comfort us. We thank you so much. Lord, remind us, Lord, that we can do this as broken people because we serve a complete God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please grab a seat. Please grab a seat. For those who don't know me, my name is Ben and I'm the pastor at Sun Life Church, and I get the joy to continue on the conversation of what God is doing in this church here. What I really love about Testimony Sundays is a reminder that God is still doing the miracle today. You know, this God that we study of in Scripture, the God that we read in the Bible, He is still working behind the scenes today. I know that on Sunday, you know, we come to church and we're looking good. It's Sunday best, yeah? And sometimes we put on the mask that everything is okay, yeah? That we've got it all together. But the reality is we don't. I know that I'm a broken person. I know that as pastor, if I say this all the time, if you know half as much as what God knows about me, you wouldn't want to follow me. I don't deserve to be standing here as your pastor. But I'm so grateful for the grace of God. I'm so grateful that He loves me despite of my brokenness and my sinfulness. He's always given me second chances, that I get a chance to work on areas that I need to work on. I don't take His grace for granted. I don't go, because of His grace, I'm going to live a certain lifestyle. No, no. Because of His grace, I want to live for His glory. I want to overcome the areas that I need to overcome. And I want to seek Him when I am in need. Amen. And I love the two testimonies. Tina, sister, I love what God is doing in your life. Thank you so much for trusting Him. You know, more of Him and less of me. More of His voice and less of the voice of this world. And where's Lydia? Lydia, you have been with me for over 10 years. Lydia, I don't know where you are, but I know that you have such a humble heart. And I love the fact that you can be so honest and transparent, say, I struggle with mental health, but I have a shepherd who walks with me in that valley. And I'm going to hold on to that promises that where I go, you go. That He didn't say that as a follower, there's no valley. No, no, there will be valleys. But He promises that in the valley, He's there. So Lydia, sister, I love you. And David, thank you so much for just what you've shared. Well, you know, before I invite the next person, I want to share you a quick testimony. Is that all right? Can I do that? I was told during the week, one of Sun Lifers here had a haircut. And immediately during the haircut, this Sun Lifer said to the hairdresser, come, not follow me, but come to my place. We've got a small group gathering tonight. I was told that this hairdresser didn't have transportation. So this Sun Lifer arranged an Uber to pick up this person. This person came and this person had a wonderful time. And I know that this person is here with us this morning. I don't want to embarrass that person. But what I love about that is it reminds me of a Jesus who saw Levi, who saw John and James and said, come, follow me. I want to encourage you, Sun Life Church, that, you know, God has saved you, not so that you can just come on Sunday and enjoy good worship, enjoy a good word and go home, but to be on mission, to be sensitive to the prompting of God's Spirit, to say to someone, hey, come. Come on my place. Let's break bread. Let's chat. Can I pray with you? I've got a small group of people that's meeting tonight. Come, you'll be uplifted. God is real. God is doing a miracle in these people, and I believe that God can do a miracle in your world. So God is doing a great work here, amen? Let's continue to be followers of Jesus Christ, obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, amen? Amen. I'm gonna invite my brother Ockett on stage. Give Ockett a round of applause.
Thank you.
All right. Brother, we're going to have a conversation. Ignore that they're listening and watching. Ignore the thousands watching online. No, it's only hundreds. That's calmed your nerves, right?
Yeah, no, I'm all good.
Hey, Ockett, yeah, I mean, I know you guys, and I love you and your family, but for those who don't know you, tell us a bit about yourself. Who are you? Do you have a family? What do you do? And then we'll get serious.
They say I have a family. I've got two handsome little boys over there. And my wife is somewhere at the back. There she is. Maria and John and Nathan. And yeah, we've just been in Sun Life for the last 5 years, I think. 4 or 5 years, it feels like forever. And we're so thankful to call this home. The beginning was challenging. I'm adjusting to the culture shock for me, but it was great. It is, it still is.
And what I love about you and your wife is that you're so, you're very involved in the church. And you've got a business, but looking at you, you know, you run a small group for fellas, and your wife is overseeing the welcome team. But how do you manage all that? Tell us, because you run a business, yeah?
Yeah, we got a small business going, and God's been just so good for us in the business over the past few years, especially during COVID, where the business actually just took off, and we were on a point to call it quits, and then this whole new opportunities came in, and you just try to stay connected with your connect group. We had a part of a wonderful connect group last year where I've learned that, you know what, it's okay just to ask for prayer, to ask for help and advice from the other people that I'm dealing with. Amen. And that's with us.
Yeah, I love that about this church here, that it's okay to ask for prayer. It's okay to say that actually I don't have it all together. I need someone to stand beside me. Like, I don't want to be part of a church where we put on this mask, that everything is rosy. I'd rather be part of a church where the mask is removed, and we can actually receive prayer and encouragement. Right. Hey, Oka, tell us a time when, you really needed prayer. A dark season, a time where there's uncertainty, a time where you really needed, God to intervene.
Oh, there's so many, actually. My wife was asking me, which testimony are you going to give today? So I said, we constantly need God in our lives, and you need Him for everything, just to deal with the kids. That's the biggest challenge for
me. Amen.
That's the biggest challenge for me. But quite recently, as everyone know, most of you know, we were looking for our forever home, our first property in the country, and it's been challenging, it's been stressful, and we just decided to, in our connect group the one day, everybody's asking for prayer, and prayer requests came up, and I'm like, hang on a second. They pray for somebody that's sick at work that's not even a believer. Why can't we ask for prayer for a house? And I wasn't very popular with my wife about that, but and I just said to her, you know what, we should ask people to pray for us. And we prayed for a house.
Okay, so I guess you were renting for a period of time, and you really wanted a house, and you asked for prayer, and they started praying. Then what happened next?
Well, it's quite an event of things, that few things that happened. First of all, we saw a lovely house, and we fell in love with it. We prayed about it. We put in an offer. It got declined. We gutted, and you just, in this current conditions where the prices just keep on rising and rising, you just feel discouraged, and you don't think anything will happen. And luckily, we've got such a good group of friends in church, and Michael and Nadia invited us over one night in the week. We don't do that in the week. We just go out to them, just have a coffee, have a prayer, and they shared some good news. Something happened to them when we were there about their own property. And we just prayed again and keep on praying and praying and praying, and the right things will come. Everybody say that to you. Mm-hmm. And the few days later, after we got the news that it's not approved, Maria sent me a property, and I looked at it, and it's 1 hour on the market. And I immediately phoned the estate agent, and he's like, we've got to open house this week. And I said, no, I've got to see the house tonight. 5 o'clock, please. We want to see the house. Something just said, we've got to see this house. And Maria took off work early, so we all were there at 5 o'clock, look at the house.
So you saw the house before it was even
on the market?
On the market.
It was advertised, yes.
Oh, wow.
It was no open house, nothing. And it was just something about that house, because as I was working that morning, I was just praying and said, God, we need this. We need this as a family. And I need you to step in. You need to help us here. And we saw the house. Dad had a chat with this lovely agent, and thank God he was one of the owners as well. And he said, look, you've got to put in your offer. If you want us to take it off the market, this is the range. And we put in the offer the next day. And yeah, they accepted the offer.
Wow.
And praise God for that.
Hallelujah.
But then we had to go through financing, which we thought was...
God's growing your faith, right?
You can get the house, but you've got to pay for it somehow. but this is a journey that happened over the last, I would say, five plus years, where you save, and every time prices increase and there's more different changes with the banks and their new rules. And so you keep on saving and saving and saving. But I knew God had a plan, and he will see us through. And then we got the call from our broker, and she was saying, look, there's issues with the previous businesses and all those things, and it's not long enough. And Maria spent the whole weekend explaining to them on email what's happening, what happened. And yeah, and they said Monday, look, we'll get back to you next week. And I remember just then Michael phoned me, and he's like, what's wrong? Wow. Just like, we've got to wait another week. And just then he's like, can I just pray for you? And I remember like yesterday, just part of his prayer was saying that, God, you know how much we can take. You know what's our limits.
Amen.
And I kid you not, 1 hour after that phone call, after that prayer, my wife called me and said to me, we've been approved.
Wow, yeah. How good is God, eh?
Yeah.
And so in this whole journey where you've prayed and God has grown your faith and God has helped you through, what's the lesson that you've learned? What's something you can share to us?
Nothing is too big or too small for God. Don't ever think that your problem, doesn't matter if it's a toothache or ingrown toenail, whatever it is, I believe you, believe me, nothing is too big for God.
Amen.
Nothing is too small for God.
Amen.
Just trust Him.
Amen.
Trust Him and have faith that He will set you free and give you the way out.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you kept mentioning that it's a community of just people at this church here who are trusting the Lord, prompted by the Spirit to call you up, to message you and say, how are you going, bro? Yeah. Anything else you want to conclude before I get someone to pray for you, to encourage those who are here and those watching us from afar?
Yeah, put God first. Yeah. Like everybody, like Tina was saying as well, put God first. Put God first in everything that you do. And Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34 is just something that I've been holding on for quite some time. It's, but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all other things will be given to you.
Amen.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's easy to say, but man, it's don't worry too much about tomorrow. Put your faith in God.
Yeah.
And He will take care of you.
So good. He's mentioned Michael's name many times. I thought it'd be appropriate to get Michael to come up here and pray for his brother. Can we do that? Yeah, Michael.
Thanks, Pastor Tim. We'll pray for you and all the people with ingrown toenails. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're an amazing God that cares about us so much, all about the big things and the little things, Lord. And we just thank you that you have given this church, Ockert and Maria, John and Nathan, and just the beautiful people that they are. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work in them, Lord, to be able to build character that will reflect you in our community here at Sun Life, and also in the community in which we serve. And Lord, I just pray you'll continually build into their marriage, Lord, to just build them into just a couple that will do amazing things and bring you glory. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you give Ockert and Michael a round of applause? Thank you so much. Thank you so much, brother. So good, so good. Thank you, thank you. Remember what Oka was saying. Doesn't matter how big or how small it is. Listen to the Lord. Also, if we can, be in a community, having people praying for us, encouraging us. Amen. I got a chance now to invite a beautiful young lady now on stage. She says to me, "I'm so nervous, Pastor." I said to her, "It's okay. I get nervous as well too, but I'm a very good pretender. I'm covering it up." But church, will we give an encouraging round of applause to Tracy as she comes on. Come on, Tracy. Yeah. Have a seat, Tracy. Woo. How are you, Tracy?
I'm good.
You're good? Yeah. Wow, I know that your story is going to really encourage us, encourage every one of us, especially also young people as well too. Tracy is in the young adults community. And before we ask some questions, tell us a bit about yourself. What do you do? How long you've been here? Why are you always happy and always smiling?
It's the Holy Spirit.
Oh, good answer. Woo, good answer. Good answer. And by the way, it's just a conversation with you and me. Yeah. They're not here. There's no one here, okay? There's no one here. And no one's watching us. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So next year will be exactly 1 year since I've been at Sun Life. Next week.
Easter.
I work as a dental nurse just down the road in Mount Hawthorne. Been doing that for like 3 years. And I actually had a dream about this like 2 or 3 months ago that I'd be sharing my testimony here.
Did you guys hear that? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
You didn't tell me that. Okay. So you're relatively new to this church and to what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Before we even get into your testimony, just tell me, just like the last 12 months, you know, meeting this Savior, meeting this Jesus, being part of this community. How's it been?
It's been so good, especially just coming here, being in a Connect group. It's just really good. Yeah, really good. It's changed my life a lot.
So good. Yeah. So good. And I'm so encouraged because I think if we reflect on the person we were before we met Jesus and the person after we met Jesus, there is transformation.
It's like a whole 180.
Yeah, it's so good. Now, talk to me about this 180. So, obviously, there would have been... a life without Jesus, how was that life like? I mean, tell us, if you don't mind, that life when you were so far from Him, when you really needed Him. What was going on?
Okay, so it would have been around 3 years ago, after a really toxic relationship with an ex-boyfriend who, you know, lied, cheated, and made me feel really worthless. So that really damaged my self-esteem and I felt really lonely. So then, unfortunately, that led me to seek validation from other males through, you know, posting photos on the internet or the way I dress and surrounding myself with the wrong group of people as well. So my past friendship groups, they were... you know, going partying and clubbing every single weekend. We would all get alcohol poisoning every weekend as well, you know, taking illegal drugs and to the point of like overdosing every weekend and sleeping around. So then I followed them. So that was when I really needed God the most. But I knew that it was just a temporary fix. And I knew in my heart that I would never live a fulfilled life continuing down this path, and there was more to life to what I was living. And I did feel really guilty as well, because I did have a good relationship with my mum and dad, and I would feel so bad seeing them stay up late every single night waiting for me to come home safely. And just the look in their faces, they would be so worried and concerned, and I just started thinking, like, how could they be proud to call me my, to how could they be proud to call me their daughter when they knew the things that I was doing?
You know, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I want you to know, and I want you to hear from me as your pastor, that you are so loved here. You know, you are so loved by God. You are very precious. You are worthy. Worthy that He gave up His Son to die for you on that cross. You understand that, right? And I'm so proud of you for sharing that. Tell me a bit about God coming in and helping you get out of that lifestyle.
Okay, so my cousin Jenny goes to Sunlight. Jenny. And that was the first time I've been at church, and that was as a non-Christian. But during that sermon, I just knew that God is real because I felt His presence. And, you know, I found out later that that was the Holy Spirit that I was feeling, but Amen. I actually didn't come to Christ then. I got a new and better job, and there were lots of Christians there, so I became friends with a lot of Christian people, and they just encouraged me to seek God even further. And then around that time, I met my boyfriend now, who is a Christian, and even before I came to Christ, he would always encourage us to do Bible study together, pray together, and pursue God together. And then eventually he led me to Christ. So then I realized the closer I came to Christ, the things that I once desired all changed. Yeah. So he truly delivered me from, you know, alcohol, substance abuse, and sleeping around.
So good. Let's give a round of applause. I mean, you've experienced the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. So what do you feel today? Like, you know, how has that journey helped you today? And maybe some advice you can give to those who may be having struggles with their identity and images.
So whenever I look back and see like how far I've come, I see nothing but God's grace and love. And not too long ago, my mum, who's a Buddhist, she just came up to me and she said that she's so happy to see me to go to church and thank God that she's seen how much I've transformed since coming here. And she told me for the first time ever that she's proud of me. So, So yeah, I've just been continuing to seek God and not looking back, and I know that He's the only one keeping me on track and wants to help me every single step of the way. And I just can't help but to praise God every day because it was His love and guidance that helped me. And if He hadn't intervened in my life, I'm actually not too sure if I'd still be, you know, here today. Advice that I would give to someone: it's important to not only spend time reading, but applying the Word of God so that He can have transformative powers in your life. The people who you surround yourself with is so important because they ultimately influence who you become. And a relationship where you both pray, worship, and put God first is always worth the wait.
You're the reason why I do what I do. You're the reason why a lot of us here choose to follow Jesus Christ, because we want to see God's transformative power in changing those who are so far from Him back home. The power to bring the dead and give them life. And I'm so proud of you. The church here loves you. This is Tracy, everyone. So when you see her, yeah, give them another round of applause. I'm going to invite one of the young adults leaders to come forward. Sarah Ann's going to pray for you. Yeah, shall we pray for Tracy?
Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful girl, Tracy. We're so encouraged by her testimony of what you've done in her life, Lord. And I pray that you continue to be with her and remind her that she's known and seen and loved by you, Lord. And that you continue to use her to be a testimony to those around her, Lord, and that she will never stop praising your name for what you've done in her life and what you will continue to do. I pray that you continue to watch over her and use her as she continues to grow in spirit, Lord, and that she will continue to reach out to the many people around her. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Yeah, give Tracy a round of applause. You know, I want to encourage us as a church to always share testimonies. We have these worship testimony services every now and then to also remind us that, yeah, God speaks to us not only through Scripture, which we believe at Sun Life Church, but He also speaks to us through brothers and sisters as well. That if you got a story of God's transforming work, share it. Please share it. Because it's only going to build faith. And I'm pretty sure that all of us here this morning and those joining us afar, your faith has been built through the testimonies. Can we be upstanding? Can we just worship? And we're going to just sing in response to their four amazing testimonies. And I'll come back and I'll pray a prayer of blessing. And I'll send us off to be on mission as always. So I'm going to invite Jordan and the team. Let's just worship. Let's just declare that God is good. Amen. Let's worship.